Anytime you're starting a business, it's very, very important to consider the financials of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because businesses, unless it's a nonprofit, I mean, their purpose is to make money for the owners of the business.
Right.
So you need to be heavily considering the financials, meaning, you know, in the basic categories, you know, revenue, mm-hmm. what kind of profit you expect, and expenses. And it's helpful to do projections into the future. Year one, year two, year three, four, five. The farther you go out, the less likely those projections are going to be accurate, but at least you can have
a roadmap. Yeah.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. Heather, it's so great to be here once again.
And every episode you go, action. And I feel like it's like you've hit your calling in life. You're like,
I need to get one of those things. Do they call them?
The director, like, and cut.
Action.
Yes. Action, whatever.
We get right on there. You know, episode 77, Turning Profit podcast. Okay.
Sounds like a plan. So today we are talking about you've decided you're going to do this and you want to set your business up right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the working title?
Well, we're talking about how to design the perfect land investing business.
Exciting.
Well, and the perfect one is the one that works best for you.
Right. First, I want to start with, why are you in a position to be sharing this information? Why should anyone listen to you?
Okay, well, been doing this land investing model for, about 3.5 years now mm-hmm. at this point, and learned a lot and progressed a lot in this business. So I've seen kind of like the do-it-yourself side of things, you know, just getting up and going to the point we're at now where we have a large team doing most of the business for us. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of design this business to kind of work within what you want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to do this episode so we can kind of cover all those different things and kind of lay it all out there so you can design your perfect land investment.
Right. Why are you qualified to be talking about starting and running a business? And do you have any experience in starting and running businesses or real estate?
Well, okay.
I'm leading
you. So these are
here.
Leading questions. Yes. Okay. Well, we've been business owners, self-employed business mm-hmm. owners since we've been married, I guess, which has been a long time. So last time I had a job where I had a W-2 uh-huh. from a separate employer would have been
25 years ago.
25 years, 1998. Yeah. So
1999.
Okay, 1999. So it's been a while. So we have learned a lot as business owners and being self-employed. And so these have all kind of contributed to our land investing business and how we progressed with it. So, you know, some of those things that we sprinkle into this episode as well. So, and obviously we've been doing the land investing business for the past 3.5 years. So we've learned a lot in that and grown it quite a bit over the past 3 years as well.
I'm just going to have to do this myself. You've been a real estate investor a real estate broker for how long?
Oh, okay. Yes. Been a real estate broker since 2006. I've had my license in California. And actually we were involved in real estate mm-hmm. before then even. So investing on our own.
Right. So we've done the flipping houses. We have done short sales. We've done REO, which is bank owned. We've worked with investors. That was probably your favorite. We've worked mm-hmm. with buyers and sellers. We've worked with luxury real estate.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't done heavily is commercial.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some.
Yeah.
But not. And by we, I mean mostly you.
Okay.
There was this one month in like 2007 when I was like our top agent.
Yes.
I think you had the flu that month. And so I sold a house. But I just want everyone to know that, you know, you're coming at it as a real estate broker. You're not their real estate broker. If you need, you know, direct advice.
In fact, I don't act as a real estate broker at all anymore.
No. And you don't need one to run this company.
No,
I think it's important to set the, you know, the standard that who you're getting your information from
mm-hmm.
and run lots of different real estate businesses in the past, tried out all the different kind of ways to do it. And I think you've settled on that this is your favorite.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I love the business because I love buying and selling things. I love the profitability of the business. I mean, there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of different ways that you can run with it. Even a lot of different aspects of the business that are maybe not evident if you're just going down this road trying to figure this out. So we're going to cover a lot of those things today. And it's kind of interesting because I know a lot of different investors and they all have their different take on things. You know, it could be the scale that they're doing it at, could be their individual niche or model that they're using within the business. It could be the lifestyle that they're trying to achieve with their business. Financials all over the map, you know, people doing it at different levels. So there's lots of ways to do this business. We're going to kind of cover all those aspects today.
I want to throw out a couple of my favorites. You've told me about someone who is active duty in the military and deployed, still running it. You've told me about someone who doesn't even live in the U.S. that invests in the U.S. You've told me about someone who does it seasonally. So just during the summer months or spring to summer or whatever, then they have the rest of the year that they live off the profits. You've told me it's about someone who does it just for their retirement income. Someone who's doing it part-time, someone who started as part-time but has turned it into full-time, someone who kept their full-time job and then transition to full-time as soon as they could. I think those are some of my favorites, but my favorite is that people who do it who don't even live near us. We don't live near where we invest.
Right. There are many different ways to do this business and kind of tailor it to the life that you want to have.
Right. And that's what kind of sticks in my head is that, you know, a lot of businesses, it's kind of like, you know, I talked about a last episode about a sandwich shop, right? And I think a lot of people think when they're starting businesses that that's kind of the thing. It's like, if you start a business, it's very clear cut. It's, you know, nine to never, you know what I mean? It's like, if you own your own business, there's never a time off, right? But this one, you can really make it what you want. And there's no limitations, geography, available time, age, even money. You know, there's ways to conquer that if you don't have the money to invest. So I think it's a well-rounded business.
Right. Exactly. And very customizable, you know, so I'm going to go through all these different considerations. We're going to go through all the different considerations today. I'm not going to tell you what's best because your situation may be completely different than our situation and you look at things differently.
Right. So. And we're not legal professionals. We're not tax advisors. We're not anything. We're just talking about what we've done, what we've heard. You need to pick the one that works best for you. I think that's the big takeaway, is that stay open to the different options, learn as much as you can, and then, you know, do what feels right for you.
Yeah. So I've broken this down into a number of different categories here, kind of big picture kind of things that you need to think about when you're designing your land investing business. First category I've got is the model itself.
Right.
So we do a lot of quick flips. So buying a property off market, selling it on market after maybe doing some minor improvements to the property. So we're buying and we're selling quickly. So those are what I consider to be quick flips. You could further kind of classify those as rural properties, like say you're doing the larger properties out in the country, or are you doing infill lots, which are basically lots within a suburban or city area that are not built on for whatever reason. Those are kind of two different sub niches of that quick flip model.
I actually just heard your Pennsylvania accent come out.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Can you say the word that starts with an R?
Rural?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Rural?
A rural.
How do you say it?
Rural. Rural. I don't know. Now rural? I'm confused because of the way you say it, but I thought that was funny.
Okay. Every once in a while it does sneak out.
Yeah. Every once in a while you'll hear it. But getting back to what you're saying is that there's these different type, like subtypes of even the quick flip. Okay. It's like the main part and then it splinters down. Okay. Now what?
Right.
And then you splinter it down and you'll have someone who says, oh, I do quick flips too, but their quick flips are completely different. They might even say I do rural properties. Quick flip rural properties, and it's totally different than what you do.
Right.
Because they might be doing like only 5,000 acres or something. And
right. They might be doing them in the middle of the desert where we don't do. You know?
Right.
You know, they could be doing infill lots and just kind of selling one lot at a time, or they could be buying packages of infill lots and working with builders to sell the properties right to them. There's a lot of different sub niches here.
I bet you could even when a builder, you know, bails on a property, he's done, he's hit it, and there's still some properties left. There might be people who actually just buy those.
Yes.
And then they splinter off from there. No, we don't really do infill lots. Do
we do. We do.
We do. But is that your favorite? Like,
it's not what I prospect for.
Right.
But we partner on a lot of infill lots that other investors bring us. But
what
it's
do you
not
mean
what
by
I look for.
Partnering with them.
Oh, we have a program called Partner with Pete. And basically, it's a funding program, meaning that an investor brings us a property that they have under contract and for us to fund. We look at it, and if it looks like it's a deal that fits within our criteria, we agree to fund the deal. But not just that, we will actually do every single other aspect of the transaction, meaning if it needs any specialized due diligence, like a perk test or a survey, anything like that, we'll cover those costs up front. If it needs any value add, like brush clearing or, you know, lot splitting, something like that. We'll cover those costs up front. We handle the transaction. We handle all the research. We handle the marketing, working with the agents, like negotiating offers when they come in, the transaction on the resale side. And when it's all said and done, we split the profits 50-50 with the investor. So it's not just a funding program. We'll also kind of take the baton and run with it after you get it under contract.
So. Right. A lot of investors, new and experienced, use it so that they can focus on finding the deals and also maximizing their money towards sending out more deals.
Yep.
So it's a way to like kind of level up quicker.
Yeah. And possibly create a better lifestyle.
Right.
And in the process.
So. Yeah. And a lot of people don't like dealing with that.
Right.
So to have an option that you don't have to deal with the closing,
it's a lot of stuff, believe me.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. Okay. So then you can have different techniques with value add that could be a certain niche. Like maybe you're looking for properties where you're creating access where access did not exist. Maybe you're doing properties that are completely overgrown and your thing is you then establish, you know, you clear these properties and make them more appealing to the end buyer. So there's lots of different kind of sub niches within there. You could kind of step up and you could start doing lot split type properties, focusing on that. We're doing a lot of lot split properties. You could get into residential subdivisions, you know, like major subdivision projects. So you could do that as a form of land investing. You could do other large projects. Like you could get, your niche could be developing tiny home communities. You know, it could be doing renewable energy projects. Kind of the sky is the limit for those.
I just saw one on the news this morning that it was down in San Diego and they bought this big lot for $5 million, which sounds insane for what they're using. But anyways, they're doing these tiny cottages. It's like a cottage village and they're using it for wounded veterans.
Oh,
so
that's
kind
cool.
of like helps them get, you know, because they need that stability. You have to have a home. You can't, how do you get a job if you don't have an address or services, right? And I thought, well, gosh, that's like another amazing a way to use, you know, in much more affordable areas because $5 million only goes so far. But, you know, you could partner with different companies. Like there was one that just put the roofs on all of these cottages.
Yeah.
Thought, well, gosh, there's a way to kind of do that.
You could structure it as a nonprofit and just take a healthy salary, you know?
Right. And it still would be extremely useful, you know, like there's a lot of ways that kind of the lot split, all these advanced projects, especially once you get going on these other things, you can kind of, these are more of a, that would be a fun thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. I think it would be fun. It would be fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Fulfilling. Yeah.
But I just thought it was a very creative use for that land, you know? So the tiny home villages, I think those, I don't know why they haven't taken off more.
Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continue.
And then another thing that some investors do is they simply are the money partner. So This is the ultimate kind of lifestyle where they just, if they've got an excess of funds ready to invest, they can simply just fund the deals for other land investors that actually do all the other work with it. But they're the money person and they do a profit split. So I know some investors that just do that. So that's a pretty cool way to do things too.
Yeah. And I think that would even be good if you had a little more of an advanced understanding so that you could, maybe you had like just one other partner, you two had that and they did all that kind of stuff. You brought the money, but you also did like the final sign off just to give help with that relationship too.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some things you do.
And maybe you'll start with one model and add on as you go. Mm-hmm. Or you could change your focus as you make progress. You know, you might have one thing that really resonates with you and you've really realized that you're good at this. And that's the area you want to focus on. So, but from the beginning, it's good to kind of consider what you believe to be, you know, the best model to run forward with.
Right. And what's interesting, you know, we talk about special interests. We both have them like, and in this same thing, what pops out to you? What seems the most exciting? Because you're going to be more active in it. You're going to learn more and then see if it's profitable. That's the other takeaway. It might be really interesting, but.
That segues into our next category, which is the financials. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're starting a business, it's very, very important to consider the financials of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because businesses, unless it's a nonprofit, I mean, their purpose is to make money for the owners of the business.
Right.
So you need to be heavily considering the financials, meaning, you know, in the basic categories, you know, revenue, what kind of profit you expect, and expenses. You know, so these are all kind of big categories on your financials that you can got to consider. And it's helpful to do projections, you know, into the future. Year one, year two, year three, four, five, you know, the farther you go out, the less likely those projections are going to be accurate, but at least you can have
it's a roadmap.
Benchmarks that you shoot for, a roadmap.
Yeah. But my favorite tip is what you always say is the reverse engineering.
Yes, reverse engineering. So you need to really look at what level of business you want to achieve and then do the math, figure out what it's going to take in lead generation in order to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So when it really, in its simplest form, it's about lead generation and converting those leads into deals and figuring out what the math is in order to get you to the level of business that you want. So for us, you know, over time, we figured out that our cost per deal in marketing and lead generation is about $3,500 in marketing costs for every deal that we get. So we know that we need to, it's just a math equation. Like we want to do a certain number of deals, we're going to have to spend $3,500 in marketing costs in order to get each deal. Mm-hmm. So,
but once you have that kind of figured out, everything else kind of comes into play. The pieces fall into, what's the word, you know?
Yes. Pieces fall into place.
Thank you.
The puzzle pieces come together. I don't know.
But it's kind of one of those things where you have the benchmarks, you have just kind of a roadmap for yourself.
Right.
Okay, this is what I'm going to follow. And then you just change it as you need to.
And yeah.
When you learn more, you're going to, you know, have more information to draw from.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you're getting started, you may not have that information in order to the exact information in order to do that reverse engineering. So what should you do? You should listen to people like us that do throw numbers out there. And there's others, I'm sure, that do the same and come up with your best estimates.
Yeah, absorb it all. You also do some deal, you know, you've done our 50 first deals. There's a lot of information that as you're starting your business that you can go back to and listen to that we've, mainly you, have created. What are some resources that they could go to and where would you find those?
Yeah, well, if you go on our Turning Profit website, turningprofit.com, you'll see that I've got something on there at the top, which is put your name and your email address. It's a scheme to get your email address so we can stay in communication with you. But anyhow, you put in your name and your email address, and then we'll send you a video, which is it's a breakdown of our 50 first deals, meaning in this business, when we started, deal number one through deal number 50, I break down each of those deals, like what we bought it for, what we sold it for, how much profit we made, some notes on each of those deals.
Like what you learned, what went right, what went wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll really get a good insight in how the business started to really progress over those 50 first deals. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of an invaluable sort of resource if you're looking to get started in this business. So.
Right. Do you spam people like 5 times a day?
No, not 5 times a day. Maybe 3 times a day. No. Only when we have something important to send you.
Yeah. So you're not going to be getting like copious amounts of emails, but I think it's worth the trade-off. Okay. So the next thing on here, you said, okay, so we did the model. You need to pick your model. You need to, you know, you're going to need to get into the financials, figure out, is it profitable? How is this going to work? How are you going to fund it? All that fun stuff. And then the next thing you want to do, which is a natural progression because you'll start doing it yourself, but you're going to need to start building a team.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to. So
right,
or
right.
At least consider this aspect of things. Do you want to do everything yourself, or do you want to start building a team that's going to gradually take things off your plate and potentially to the point you could, maybe you don't even want this, but potentially you could build it to the point where you're not even really involved in the business at all. It's just run by some very competent people that you've built your team with. So.
Right. And another take on that too is you might find things that you don't like doing.
Mm-hmm.
So start with that. You know, you don't have to do things you don't like.
You don't?
No. You know, permission to not do something you don't like. So if you don't want, you could start with somebody just answering your calls if you don't like that initial contact. There's some, even if your goal is not to build a team, there's some ways that you can still use team members so that you're not doing things you don't like. Okay, go on.
You could hire an assistant that maybe starts part-time if you don't have a lot of full-time work for them or something like that. But you can progress it as you go. Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting-edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success. Another thing to consider is, like, what will your role be as your business progresses? Are you going to be pushing towards just simply evaluating deals or approving deals? Or do you always want to be involved in the sales side of things? You know, like, everyone has their different strengths, and maybe you only want to be involved in the transaction processing or the due diligence, you know? So it's good to consider kind of where your strengths are and what you want to be involved with as the business moves along. So I put another thing down here, which kind of was relevant to us, but it may be relevant to you as well. Are there family members that you want to bring on and kind of integrate into the business as well, so they can benefit from it too?
It's surprising how many kind of come out of the woodwork. You, like, your children, parents, siblings, whatever. But I think it's interesting, especially as children, because you can identify, like, oh gosh, they're really good at this. They might enjoy it. Let them try it.
Yeah.
You know, show, because then they're going to see the insights. Even if they don't end up wanting to do land investing forever, they're going to see aspects of a business, and they're going to identify, do I want to be a business owner? Or, you know, they're going to pick up on things that you're not even expressively sitting down, like, I'm going to teach you this. It's so much better to do it and get their opinions too, because they're of different generations. They understand things differently. They bring a lot to the table just as much as we bring a lot to the table from experience.
Yep.
Except for when they tell us what to do.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Well, you could teach your kids this business. They could possibly form their own business, mm-hmm. and go off on their own. We had, one of our first episodes that we've done, where we sat down with our kids who started their own land flipping business. Mm-hmm. And in the episode, we broke down how they started with $8,000, mm-hmm. pulled between the two of them, and they parlayed it into like $85,000, mm-hmm. As of filming that episode. So it was kind of a cool episode. I have a lot of people, you know, bringing that up to me. So yeah, I if you're interested in, you know, bring your family into the mix, I would definitely watch or listen to that episode. I think it could be enlightening in some ways.
Yeah. And then they've actually gotten into lending.
Yes. They've actually got into the deal partner, uh-huh. side as well, lending money on, yeah. deals. And that is what, so they've done that too. So, and then our oldest daughter, Maddie, she's really heavily involved in the day-to-day of the business at this point, evaluating properties. So it's kind of her area thing. Of expertise.
Yeah.
So.
She really enjoyed it. It was actually unexpected. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't go into it saying, oh, she's going to be a great, you know, deal evaluator at all. But she was just kind of like, this is exciting.
She loves the research.
Yeah.
And really figuring that out.
She's always been really nosy since, mm-hmm. she was little. You know, she's always been like, she listens when you don't think she's listening. It's a very cool thing. And I'm sure she'll appreciate me using that word. But she's really good. So, you know, let your kids experience all of it. It'll, yep. be interesting to see where we should do another episode, because they can talk about, yes. kind of where they're taking things. Okay. So your next thing says vision. What,
yes.
do you want your business to accomplish?
Yes. As a business owner, mm-hmm. you're responsible for the vision. And right. it's really important to kind of consider, like, what do you want your business to accomplish? What do you want it to stand for?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any principles that are going to be sort of guiding principles of your business and how you want it to be perceived? So very important things, easy to blow off, I guess, but it really taking some time to make sure that your business aligns with your values and everything, I think, is pretty important.
Right. An example of that would be something I joked about before, about clear cutting.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's situations.
Yeah,
have don't. We ever?
No. We clear home sites and stuff, uh-huh. like that, but clear paths and trails through properties, but we don't like clear cut a property, you know, unless, you know, I would do it if it was a tree farm that's, mm-hmm. like that you replant and then grow it again.
Right,
like
right.
that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just simply like growing a crop, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but it's just clear cut like a whole, you know,
forest.
Yeah. Years old, you know, many year old forest, mm-hmm. that has a lot of wildlife in there as well. I don't know. That's the best thing to do.
Right. And I guess that also goes down to that. We know that that's not our expertise. We would probably, mm-hmm. bring in someone that was, what's the ramification of this? How does, mm-hmm. this impact the area? All that kind of stuff. Not to mention people that buy homes like to have trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. they don't want to have like the 5-acre parcel that's completely empty when all their neighbors have like these lush forests.
Yeah.
But what are some other examples of things that would kind of be part of our...
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, any of my dealings with any of the people that we deal with, I try to be very upfront and, you know, not hide anything, and just, you know, good business practices are always.
So treat others like you'd like to be treated.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, which is the golden rule, which is like realtor thing, but that's okay. I still like that rule regardless. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. Like there's always another deal and sometimes you need to walk away.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we try to, even if we're right, we still might, we don't fight to be right. We fight to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Would right. that be right? Or sure. in the yeah, eyes of everyone?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that. Okay. Okay. So the next line item on our agenda today is finance.
Yes.
So you said self-funding deals, funding with deal partners, private money, investment fund, take it away.
Yeah. So basically there's different ways in order for you to fund your purchases. Mm-hmm. You could do all cash if you've got the money sitting there. Mm-hmm. You could be working with deal funding partners. You could be have some sort of access to private money, friends, family, or otherwise. And then you could also start an investment fund if you wanted to. So these are all different levels of finance, but it's really important to kind of plan this out and consider how you're going to be buying these properties, especially, you know, if you don't have a lot of the resources to start with. You may need to really consider like, okay, I'm going to be going after properties that are potential partner deals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's important to adjust your lead generation accordingly.
Right. Or I guess if you're nervous, like you've got some money, but you'd rather partner, you know, because it just makes you feel more secure. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But it's important to kind of consider this big piece of it because it is a big piece of things.
Right. You're going to have to fund the deals. It's great to get them. And then you're like, oh, but I don't have money.
What am I going to do now?
That was fun. You know, that's not a good feeling to be in.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe research some different funding programs. I suggest going to partnerwithpete.com. And
maybe a little ching ching thing or something. Ding ding or something.
You know, if obviously you've got some friends and family that, you know, maybe want to put some money to work or something like that. Maybe that's something to do as well. But I do suggest really getting comfortable with business because you don't want to risk friends and family money until you really know what you're doing.
Right. Don't learn with that's someone else's money.
Exactly. Exactly. There's no better ways to ruin relationships with family or friends than to lose them money.
So. Right. Yeah. And I mean, there's just, I think that's probably the most important thing more than money would be relationships. So
yeah, that's the most important
thing. Call me crazy. Yeah, that's a good thing to point out too. Okay, so your next line item here is plans change.
Yeah, okay, so planning, super important, all these different things. We're planning our ideal land investing business, but one of the most important things to keep in mind is that plans change and you need to be able to adapt. So
stay flexible.
Yeah, it's very helpful to understand that sometimes situations change and your plan should adapt accordingly. Mm-hmm. So market changes can be one thing. You find yourself doing well with a certain type of property and maybe you realize, oh, this is the path that I should go down.
I don't think people do that enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you see something that's really working for you,
go all in.
Yes. Like you don't, well, I did say I wanted to do that. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who
it wasn't cares? Part of the plan. I didn't realize I was going to be doing lot splits, but
right.
You know, you potentially could come across some great talent that could help you in a certain aspect of your business that could really improve it in a certain way.
Snatch maybe
that,
them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't part of your original plan, but like now the situation's changed and your plan should change accordingly. Mm-hmm. And then your goals change. Maybe you get to something changes in your life and you want to prioritize lifestyle rather than chasing ever increasing revenues and profit. You know, like maybe you're fine at you realize you're fine and you're comfortable at a certain level and you'd rather have a great lifestyle that comes along with that certain level of business.
Right. And that's okay. It's funny that suddenly became a taboo thing. Well, if the opportunity is there to make even more, but you want to have a life, like what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's actually wrong the other way.
Are you comfortable? Yeah. Are you comfortable just doing one deal a month? You know, I wouldn't be happy with that, but you may have a completely different situation than me. So
I think that the big takeaway is just that you need to don't stay stagnant. Look where, you know, what's the Wayne Gretzky one?
Skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been.
Yeah. You know, with market changes, like keep your finger on the pulse of the business, the economy, all that kind of stuff, make changes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find something that works, go with that.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
You know, and take some risks that are calculated.
Right. Yeah, not unnecessary ones, though.
Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we covered a lot of good stuff there. It's just kind of, there's the practical steps you have to take, and then these are kind of the higher level, like the visionary, like the planning steps. Mm-hmm. And these ones are super important because they're going to set the whole course of your business. Yeah, yep. Practical stuff is important, but this is
planning super. Is super important. Yeah, and it's also one of the highest value activities you can do. Actually,
yeah, and it keeps you grounded. I wish they could see off camera here. We have you have a huge whiteboard, and it has different things. It's your plans, your big picture stuff to do, and then the steps you need to do to do it. And it's something we can kind of relate back to and keep our eye on. And if we get off course, we kind of it grounds us back.
Yep, again. Exactly. Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
Okay, so this is Pete's favorite segment.
Okay.
I made that up. I have no idea. Is this your favorite segment?
Sure, sure. Okay. It's one of my favorites. We have two segments.
Yeah. It's like, wow, that's, yeah. I'm one of his favorite wives. I'm his only one, but
yes. You're one of my favorites, Heather.
Exactly. Yeah. I should say, first of all, these are questions from our community. So landconquest.com, go to the community area.
Yeah, it's hosted on the school platform, if you're familiar with that. It's S-K-O-O-L, spelled a little differently, .com/landconquest. You can find it on there. So we are, last time I checked, we are one of the largest real estate investing, real estate, even in the whole real estate category, communities on the whole platform. So we've got, 4,200 members as of this filming. So
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, and it's growing every day.
I love it. When people realize how cool this is, it's just like they have to get past the initial like, huh? And then you get into it. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So question from the community from Randall is pay per click versus mailing. I'm new at land and just started and trying to get started. I heard Pete's podcast about pay per click and I'm wondering what would be better to get started, mailing or pay per click? I have limited funds to start with and I need to use them wisely. Thoughts?
Yeah. So that's a tough question. Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on, the big thing with the difference between pay per click and direct mail is that you get to really target a type of property with direct mail. You can't target the type of property with pay-per-click. You've got motivated sellers coming in and contacting you on an inbound basis. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. But you can't target the type of property. So if you're the type that is fine kind of like adapting and evaluating properties all over the country, I think that pay-per-click could be a good way to start. You could probably get away with, a starting budget, maybe $5,000 a month, something like that. I would recommend using a service to kind of run the ads for you and set up all the landing pages and kind of using someone that has figured out how to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll be spending a lot more per lead. So you got to have some budget in order to account for that, paying them and then also for the ads themselves. So the other thing is pay-per-click, you're probably going to be getting in leads. For the most part, they're smaller deals. Mm-hmm. So if you're just getting started and you want to do some smaller deals maybe at first, maybe that's a good way to go. So we do both. They kind of balance each other. So it just comes down to personal preference. Direct mail is great. It's produced great for us over time. And we get to kind of zero in on the types of properties we want. So
I don't know. You didn't say direct mail right away.
I mean, I love direct mail. Mm-hmm. I love direct mail, but I could see both sides. It really just depends what you're looking for. So, mm-hmm. And we're not discontinuing direct mail mm-hmm. in any way. I don't know. That's where we spend the majority of our budget mm-hmm. at this point. So not going
to
change.
I guess you just need to say and also do you have the time to go through all those leads? Because you're going to get a lot more leads, I think, from the time.
Yeah. With pay-per-click, it's a more of a filtering process. Right. There's probably going to be a lot of properties that you're not going to want to go forward with.
So when I say a lot of leads, it doesn't mean they're good leads.
Yeah. There's a lot of leads.
You'll get a lot of inquiries, maybe, mm-hmm. instead of leads. Mm-hmm. That's so.
Yeah.
Okay. Katarina, I think that's how you.
Okay.
Thank you for that. I hate messing up people's names, so I hope I got that right. A county auction lead. Has anybody had experience with buying land from a county auction in particular? She gives a link to a couple different ones.
Yeah. Okay. So auctions. Auctions are a way that a lot of land investors used to buy properties, mm-hmm. but it's been harder, and this is just my take on it to get deals this way. Mm-hmm. So I've gone down this road and really investigated certain auctions that were out there, investigated these properties, came up with numbers where it would make sense. And then I see the auctions happen and the properties go for, retail or even retail plus. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's probably opportunities with auctions, but a lot of times the auction properties get bid up for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these are county tax sale auctions, things like that. So there's other considerations too with tax sales, because you can't get, in a lot of cases, you can't get title insurance right away. Mm-hmm. So you may have a problem reselling those on a retail basis right away if you can't provide, you know, title insurance for them. So it's not anything I use, and I don't use auctions in order to get deals. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it might be a little bit of a challenge.
Right. And my concern with that is I would do it as like a supplement, like it's something because it's fun or, you know, you're good at that, because you don't control any of that. It's not like you can send out more, you can create more auctions. No, you're at the whim of them putting these auctions out.
Right. There's less barriers to entry. Anyone.
Right.
Anyone, you know, and you can look at these properties and it's just easy. They can just bid on them and someone have to leave their computer.
Yeah. So. One of the things we actually have bought something, not land, from one of these auction sites she had mentioned. And the thing about it is, I wasn't looking at it for that. I was looking at it for something else, and I ended up buying something. So I'm sure there's a crossover of people who are like, oh, I've got some money and I'll buy some land, you know? Okay. Yeah. Tal says, buy with owner financing. Has anyone done acquisitions on owner financing? Pete, are you open to this on partner with Pete deals?
Buying with owner financing is definitely a viable option.
I like owner financing. Yeah.
And in fact, I know some investors that's pretty much all they do. Mm-hmm. They put together all of their deals in that way. So we bought numerous properties that way, you know, not just land, other types of properties as well. Yeah. It's a great way to structure a deal. And with land, you know, you can structure it in a bunch of different ways. But yes, I'm certainly open to that with the Partner with Pete program as well.
Good question. No one's asked us that before, have they?
Yes, they have.
Oh, they have. Sorry about that. It hasn't been presented to me before, but I still like it. Colby says, local sellers. Hello. Has anyone tested out sending mail to local owners versus out-of-state county or out-of-county owners? I mail to the out-of-county owners in the area, and now I want to try local. I was curious what everyone else's experience has been mailing to local landowners, and if it's something, and if it's a good investment, or if mailing to a new one or a new area with out-of-state and out-of-county owners would be more efficient. Thanks.
Yeah, so that's one of those filters. You know, that's one of those filters that you could put on your list to kind of make it more refined. Mm-hmm. So the conventional thinking is that if you are just going to mail out-of-area, out-of-state owners, you know, you're going to have higher likelihood that those people would be interested in selling. And that's probably true.
Right.
So the flip side of that is you're going to have a much smaller list. Mm-hmm. So we don't filter out those local landowners because we've gotten a ton of deals from those people over time. But I can see how, you know, potentially the out of area owners list would be, you know, maybe a lower price per deal or something like that. So just kind of one of those considerations. You know, it's not a bad idea. And I've often thought about doing this, you know, like when I'm trying to scout new areas, is to maybe start with sort of out of area owners only. And, you know, if it works, then remail it with kind of like all the rest of the people in that area.
Yeah. So. I guess if you love that area and you feel like it's, then I would stick with it.
Yeah.
If you're not set on it, maybe try something else.
Yeah. But I'm a big believer in kind of mailing everyone in that area, whether they're out of area or not. So I know that works, but doing out of area only probably works very well as well.
Right. So. Well, that is clear as mud.
Yes.
I think it just goes back to try and see what works.
Yeah.
You know, test it out. Your letter might be different. All these different variables.
Lots of variables, yes.
Give it a try. Don't spend your whole budget, but, you know, do the A-B testing.
Mm-hmm. Can't good hurt. Point, Heather.
Yes. Thank you for that, Peter. Well, I think this is a good place to end this episode since I am right.
You're always right. That's what you tell me, at least.
I know, right? Yeah. But thank you guys for joining us.
Yes. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.